Anyway, so it's so good to see you all again, and lovely to see some faces that I haven't seen in 15 months. So welcome to you, and good to have you back. And as Thomas has already said, if you're with us for the first time today as well, you are also so welcome. I thought I'd just give a quick update. A few of you have been asking me about my health issues, and we're so grateful to be a part of a church that prays. And some weeks ago, Simo from the Bognor site, also one of the other elders, shared about his health issues, and I shared about mine. Me personally, I'm still waiting to hear the results of biopsies, but the consultant said to me that he's not too concerned. So that's really good news, but I will give an update fully when I know. And for Simo, he's having ongoing tests just to confirm exactly what treatment he might need. But as we've gone forward, there's a real sense God is with us, answering prayer, and we just love being a part of a church which prays and we see answers to prayer. So good to have you praying for us, but we'll let you know more as time goes on. You know, we're starting a new series this morning, and as you can see, it's called Home. And I've been privileged over the years to do a fair amount of travel. Not so much these days. In fact, none of us are doing much travel these days, sadly. But I have, over the course of my life, done a fair amount of travel. And I remember one occasion, actually, usually my trips were with work or business, and they'd only been perhaps a week or 10 days at the most. But there was one occasion where, right early on in our marriage, we had one child at home. I was away for 3 whole weeks. And it was in those days when you didn't have such things as mobile phones. You know, you almost had to book an appointment when you might ring home. And I won't tell you where I was, but I was in another European country. I didn't understand the language. I didn't understand the culture. I even remember on one occasion coming down for a meal thinking, I don't want much to eat. I'll just go potluck, thinking I was having something like a burger, and ended up with a plate of mussels, which I'd never had before in my life. It was a very weird experience being somewhere where I felt totally out of my comfort zone and I didn't belong. Yeah, there were some good things about it. It was great to visit new places. It was great to make new acquaintances. But actually, I was yearning and desperate to get back home. And I remember I stepped on board the British Airways aircraft, and I said, oh, someone who speaks English. It's so good to be back home. She said, it wasn't that bad, was it? I said, no, but it's still good to be back. And then when I got home and I was welcomed into the family and I had the hugs, it was something quite special. Now, in a sense, we are coming home. And yet, in another sense, it's not quite how it was. And I think we're all very much aware of that. Things have gradually changed. We're gradually starting to come out of lockdown. And it's, as I say, so good to see people here today who hadn't seen for a long time. Now, there's some positives about this metaphor, that coming back together, catching up on time lost, that's good. But there can be some negatives about it as well, in that we're still wearing masks. We still can't sing. And I won't comment on that, on what I think about the fact we can't sing, but we still can't sing. And we can't hug, and we can't have teas and coffees. We can't hang around at the end. And it feels like something isn't, we've lost something. It's not like it was. And for many, there's a longing, I think, to return to how things used to be. And yet, as we keep being told, it's never going to be the same post-COVID. You know, life is never going to be the same again, and we've just got to get used to it. There's the economic impact, this huge bill or debt that the country and the world is facing. Nothing's like it was. So in terms of using this metaphor of us being like the household, the family of God, of coming back together, which we are, yet there's also this sense of, well, I remember how things used to be, and it's not like that anymore. And there's something true in that. You know, I think about remembering. I think, oh yeah, I long to be able to not have to have a mask. I long to be able to go and, well, some of you aren't huggers, but I'm a hugger. And if you're a hugger, when we can hug, you can hug me, right? Okay, if you're not a hugger, fine. But there's certain things you long to do again, and yet it's not like it was. And we can come back feeling a bit, it's just not what it was. Remember how it used to be. And I've entitled this talk today, Remember. And the danger is, what we want to remember is the good old times. Remember what things used to be like. Now, in one sense, that's okay. But in another sense, actually, the Bible tells us it's not always good to remember the good old days. The children of Israel, as they were fleeing Egypt, they started longing for the times when they had the fresh food and all the good things, and started moaning and groaning to Moses. And they'd forgotten, actually, they were slaves. And we can very easily look back to how they used to be and think, that's what I want to remember. But I believe that God wants us to remember something different to that. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. What we need to remember is what sustains us. When you look back to the good old days of when we could do this and maybe we could do that, it doesn't necessarily sustain you. In fact, what it does, it makes you feel a bit, it's not like it was. I believe God wants us to remember those things which enable us to trust him, to recognize what he's done for us, as we were seeing and thanking God for this morning. So that's what we're going to look at. And we're going to go through Ephesians chapter 2, and it's verses 11 to 22. So I'll read it through, and then we'll follow through some points which I think Paul says these are the things you need to remember. So let's read it together. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you are separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is being joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus because the Ephesians, it was in a city, a place where there were lots of other distractions. You know, there was a lot of occult practice, magic and all that sort of stuff. And Paul writes the letter to the Ephesians, and he talks a lot about the power of God. But what he's saying, look, there's lots of distractions and things around. You need to know who you are. You need to know where you've come from. That's what you need to know. And I believe in looking at this passage, there's just three main things that God wants us to understand and to remember. I believe remembering is a good thing. When you remember that, which is who you are and what God has done for us, we bring to mind those things. You know, why are we here this morning? Why did the tech team take the time to get up early and come here? Why did the welcome team come? Why did all of us come? Why did we come here? Is it just because we just want to see each other? There's something far deeper than that. We need to remember what it is that God has done in our lives. And in Ephesus, Paul wanted to remind the Ephesians, come on, you need to remember who you are. You need to remember why you're here and what God has done. And I think there's three main things I just want to go through this morning for us to remember and for us to keep this as a focus in our coming together. So the first thing is to remember where we've come from. And as we do this, as we look at this, there's a whole bringing back to mind, remembering. It's not like remember how things used to do. Paul's using this term remember in respect of, come on, bring it to the forefront of your thinking. Remember. And he starts off with, remember that at one time you were separate from Christ. Now, some of you will have been Christians for many years. I have been a Christian for many years. And it's very easy to get almost like just to take it for granted. Well, I'm a Christian. This is what I do. I go to church on a Sunday. I pray. This is what I do. And some of you have been brought up in Christian homes, and perhaps you can't even remember what it was like when you weren't part of, when you weren't a Christian. And yet, in this passage, Paul is wanting us to understand and to realize what life would be like if you were not a believer. What it would be like for you and I if we were not believers, because outside of Christ, there was a time when you were separate from Christ. And to take that relationship with Christ for granted is only too easy. And you're coming this morning thinking, well, it's what I do. Oh, we're coming back together. It's what I do. It's so good to see our friends and catch up with one another again. Absolutely, it really is. But what's the fundamental reason that we come together? Paul is saying here, remember, there was a time when you were separate from Christ, that you were outside of Christ, and you didn't know him. And if we are to be, I think, passionate about our homecoming and passionate about our longing to get back together, we need to be passionate about why it is that we are believers, what it is that Jesus has done. And at the moment, it seems everyone is remembering what it used to be like to go on holiday, what it used to be like to... But if that's all you hear on the news, oh, remember, we want to go on holiday, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to go to the cinema, we want to go to the theatre, we want to go out for meals, we want to do all these things that we used to be able to do without any difficulty, and yet that's not necessarily bad, but all these things can be distractions to the fundamental thing that we as believers need to know. Remember, there was a time we were separate from Christ. Not only were we separate, Paul goes on to say we're excluded from citizenship. You know, there was a time when none of us, if you like, had a home. We talk about a homecoming and we're coming back home together, which is great. That's brilliant when you've got a home. Being part of the church at one stage for us may have felt alien. I don't know if any of you can think back to perhaps some of you who became Christians later in life and you're invited along to church. I wonder what your first reaction was. I think initially it may have been, as was mine, thinking, wow, this is strange. I'm not sure if I belong here. Feel like a foreigner. That's how I felt when I was away all those years ago, a foreigner. I didn't fit. And before becoming a Christian, that was my experience. I thought, I wanted to know God, but do I belong here? Well, what Paul's saying here is that for a non-Jew like me and most of you, we were alienated from God's promise. We were separate from Israel. To be a part of God's promises pre-Jesus coming, pre-him become made man, you could not be a part of Israel's promises unless you became a Jew. We were separate from that. We were cast out. We were not a part of it. There was no salvation outside of the true Israel unless you became, if you like, a Jew. But we've seen in our recent series in John's Gospel that Jesus says that he is the true Israel. And Jesus has opened up the way for Gentiles like you and me to come to know Christ. So it goes on. Ephesians is a great book in understanding what Jesus has done for us. So 3 verse 6 says this. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. What Jesus has done for us is amazing. He's brought together Jew and Gentile, enabled us to share in his family and be part of God's family. And when Jesus broke into our lives, he made a way for us to know God. Let's remember that. Let's remember that there's a time we were not citizens. We did not belong to the family of God. Some years ago, I heard this quote from a Christian apologist. And he said this: "The world loves our values, but not our God." By that he meant, actually, people look on and they love the fact that the church gets involved in community action. They love the fact that the church gets out to care for the poor. They love the fact that there is community and friendship together, but they don't love the fact that that means to bow to the God, our Creator. And yet, without a relationship with God, there can't be true community. It's through Jesus that he enables us to have access into God's presence and to be a part of the promises of God. And so let's remember that there was a time when we were not citizens. We were not part of the family of God. And we come here this morning because of what God has done. And this was graphically illustrated to me some years back when I was in our previous church. And there's this lady, Rebecca, who was she was Ugandan, and she had come to this country having to flee persecution in her own country. And she'd been with us for a number of years, but she had not got citizenship. And she was having to go once a month to Croydon, I think it was, in order to report to the authorities. And she said it was the most demeaning experience she'd ever been through, because she felt it was like a cattle market. She had to report and report back once a month while still applying for citizenship. And she said to me, "I feel such a foreigner. I feel like I don't belong. I feel like I'm excluded." And I couldn't understand what that would be like, except I do remember those 3 weeks I was away in another country thinking, yeah, that was a bit weird. But she was living with this constantly. And I remember saying to her, "Yeah, but there is something that you do have. You are a citizen of heaven. You are a part of the community of the family of God." Let's not take for granted, once we were not citizens, but now we are. And the follow-on from that is that Paul goes on to say, "And you were foreigners to the covenants of the promises." So obviously, being an alien, we were not part of the promises which God had given to Israel. So we were outside of Christ. We did not belong in God's family. We did not have assurance of sins forgiven. We did not have the guarantee of eternal life. We were foreigners. We didn't have all the benefits of citizenship which the true Israel had. We did not have the full benefits of what it means to be citizens of heaven. That's who we were. And we mustn't forget it. Let's never forget one of the things that God has done for us is he's called us to be citizens of the kingdom of God. And for someone who is not a citizen in this country, and you hear it, we can take it for granted, but suddenly you don't have social security, you don't have health, you don't have all these other things which we naturally expect as citizens. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we are able to inherit his promises. Before, we couldn't. Now we can. There's a time our sins weren't forgiven. There was a time we did not have assurance of eternal life. This is who we were when we were foreigners to God's promises. And then Paul goes on to say, "And without hope, and without God." Another quote. Fyodor Dostoevsky, I probably pronounced that totally wrong, but he was a Russian novelist, and he said this: "To live without hope is to cease to live." Think about that. To live without hope is to cease to live. Now, I'm sure there are lots of people in the world today thinking, "I've got hope. What are you talking about?" Until everything else is taken away. Until all the things which people lived for are taken away. Until no longer can you do the things you once did. And then people start to lose hope. But we have a hope because of God. And these are the things that we are to remember. There was a time we were without hope. And we are, you know, to live for us is to know Christ. Knowing Christ is life, because he is the author of life. And when we lived without Christ, we may have been physically alive, but spiritually, we were dead. Let's not forget. Let's remember this is what God has done for us. We were without hope and without God. Without God, we didn't belong to God. We weren't his. We were separate from God. That's where we were. That's who we were. Romans 9, 26 says this. And it will happen in that very place where it was said to them, you are not my people. They will be called sons of the living God. There's a time we were not a people. We are a people. We're the people of God. But there was a time we weren't part of that. We were separate from that. We were without God. Then God says, those who are not my people are now people of the living God. That is who we are. That's what God's done for us. And that's what we are to remember. Once we were not a people, without hope and without God, now we are a people. And when we remember these things, what amazing grace that God has shown us. You know, we delight to be back together. It's so good to be back together this morning and feeling like we're starting to make movements towards coming back to one another. But why are we here? Because we are the people of God, called by God. And there'll be countless millions and millions across the world doing the same thing, the people of God. We were to remember that. Then the next thing to remember is who we are. Remembering what a state we were outside of Christ brings us to the sheer joy of knowing who we are in Christ. The benefits, the joy that Christ has done for us, all that we are because of him. Bring this constantly to your mind. Let's never, ever forget it. Let's remember who we are in Christ. And this is what Paul carries on to say in this passage. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Once we were far away, but because of the blood of Christ, because our sins are cleansed and washed and forgiven, now we have been brought right into the very center and united with Christ, into his presence, his blood cleansing us from sin and making a way for us to know God. We are so privileged to know God, and that is why we are here. We are so privileged to have a relationship with God, that Jesus should reveal himself to each and every one of us. And if you have not yet experienced that, then my cry to you is, come and see, because God gives hope and life where there is no life. Grace Church has a number of families who have adopted children. And I always find this an amazing, tremendous picture of the power of the gospel. The fact that we have been adopted into God's family. Now, our daughter, Louise, adopted, they have four children, and their adopted child is the last one. And they adopted her into their family on Christmas Eve 2016. She was rescued from a horrendous neglect. She arrived into their family literally on Christmas Eve. She was covered in nits. She had not been fed properly from birth. She was in an horrendous state. And she used to be fed pizza by her older brother. The mother just totally ignored her. And we looked at this poor child thinking, what a desperate state she was in. We now look at her and we constantly say, it's amazing, is she the same child? That she's been brought into this family. And we constantly remind ourselves thinking, where would she be now had she not been brought into our daughter's family? What would it be like for her now? We think of all the opportunities that she has. The fact that she has parents who love her, brothers and a sister who loves her, a wider family that loves her. The gospel is amazing. And you parents who adopt, I just want to say what a wonderful thing that is that you do. Because in itself, it's an amazing picture of what Christ has done for us, adopted into his family. Our lives have been transformed by what God has done for us. Let's never forget it. Let's remember it. We are now in Christ. And consequently, for he himself is our peace. We have peace. We now have peace because because Jesus has dealt with our sin. We could never keep the law. We could never fulfill God's righteous requirements. Absolutely impossible. But Jesus has broken into our lives to give us peace. And that's where our peace comes from. It's a supernatural thing. Peace with God. It's coming back together. We can experience and enjoy that sense of peace of being in Christ. And over this season, we want us as a church to be able to enjoy what it means to be in Christ and at peace with him. In one sense, to rest in our salvation. So home is meant to be a place where you are at rest. You can come back and think, oh, it's good to be back home. I felt that all those years ago, and every time I come home, I think, oh, it's great to be back home. Being away, oh, it's good to be back home. We want that sense of coming back home as a church into our various sites to feel, oh, it's where I belong. And so we're not going to be putting on lots of events and lots of strategies and, right, we're going to do this thing now, I'm going to do that thing now. No, I believe that God wants us to come into a time of recovery and restoration and just enjoying being the church. And that's going to take time as we move forward together. But there's a tremendous peace that God gives to us because we're in Christ. But let's enjoy that together, okay? A time will come when we have various missional activities. We're not going to stop being a missional church. It's exactly who we are. But let's remember what God's done for us and enjoy being family together. And then moving on, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. We are one. The work of the cross is absolutely remarkable. And it's so good to bring this to mind, if you like, to remember what it is that God has done. Because the cross not only breaks down the barrier between us and God vertically, it breaks down the barriers between us horizontally. It brings together those who are once separated and makes us one. And as Paul puts it here, one new humanity out of the two, Jew and Gentile. We're drawn into God's promises. And Paul says again in Galatians 3, verse 28, which will be a familiar verse, I am sure. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. One new humanity in Christ. What that means is there's no place like the church where, irrespective of gender, irrespective of race, irrespective of social background, we are one. That's what Christ has done for us. And that unity is best expressed by working out life together. That's why it's also important to come back and enjoy being back together. Because when we're just at home watching our screens, and I understand, you know, we had to do that. We had to lock down. But now we can start to come back together. Why is it so important? And to you who are at home, I understand that some of you, it's difficult because you're still having to shield for whatever reason. But my plea is this. It's when we're back together that the body of Christ is most expressed in terms of relationships. Black, white, you know, poor, rich, all together and united together. This is a tremendous expression of what Christ has done for us. One new man in Christ. And this church is a church which totally, wholeheartedly wants to demonstrate that through our relationships. And our lives are enriched as a result. Again, Anne and I have been privileged over the years to have people from many different nations staying with us, and the richness and the joy of doing that. And when I was away for those 3 weeks, feeling totally, I just don't belong here, when I went along to a church, suddenly, I didn't understand the language, didn't understand the culture, but I knew I was united with those who shared the same heart and passion. And that's the amazing thing about the church, that God brings together people from different backgrounds, totally different races, different cultures, but we are one in Christ. And as a church, we want to express that, where we honor one another, honor differences, honor different backgrounds, and enjoy it together. And then, for through him, we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. Through all that Christ has done, we have access into God's presence. Now, obviously, our salvation is individual. You know, God calls individuals. But there's something profoundly special, I believe, about him calling believers together so that together we can hear God speak to us, praying together, worshiping together, prophesying together. I loved it this morning because there are different gifts expressed. There are people contributing, and I was encouraged in God by hearing other people's contributions. If I'm just on my own, I can't. It's not the same. But God's called us together to be community, and that is so important, that we encourage one another and we hear God together. And then the third and final thing I want to bring out is that we remember where we belong. We are the people of God. He's placed us in this family, in this local expression of the church. This is where we are connected. This is what God has decided, called us to. We belong one to the other here. And this is where is our spiritual home. And it's God's intention that we find that joy in being back together again. Now, part of this local expression of the church is shown in different ways, but this is one of the things that Paul says. We are members of God's household. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Paul uses this metaphor of us being God's household, his family. And there's something profoundly special about that, in the sense that I can have a relationship with someone from a totally different background, but if we are both believers, there's a connection there which is closer than I could have with a member of my family who is not a believer. That is something that only God can do. And that's why it's so important, because our family is best worked out, our spiritual family, in being back together. Now, that's not to say that you don't pray for those who are not believers who are part of your family and you don't love them. You do passionately love them, but you want them to come into that same relationship that you and I have. And I feel at home when I'm with my brothers and sisters in Christ, because God calls us, we are family, we are connected. And I love that privilege that I can be connected to people from totally different parts of the world and different backgrounds. And God has shown that expression here, this household, this home, where we can work that out together. I can be in another church, another setting, and although I don't understand the language, immediately there's a bond. Now, we do speak the same language. Let's work at this being bonded together, if you like. Our starting to meet back together, and a true homecoming. And of course, in a household, you support one another, you care for one another, you look out for one another. And it's been wonderful to hear that's been going on throughout lockdown. But we can do it all the more together now we're back as community. Let's start to catch up. And then, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. We are built on strong foundations. This church is built on a strong foundation. And as a church, we have a high regard for Scripture, the Word of God, and building upon right foundations. Scripture is our plumb line, if you like, and it's how we build. It's always our desire to ensure that we are building in line with the values shown in Scripture. We also believe in accountability outside of the church to make sure that we are staying on track. So you'll be familiar, I've mentioned before, we've had John Groves, who's from Winchester, Hope Church Winchester, come to speak to us, and we'd recognize his apostolic gift to help ensure that we as a church are staying on the right foundations. Now, a building can look very different one from another. You can have lots of different buildings, But the basic structure of the foundations will be the same. The depth that's needed for the building, the mix of the concrete, all of that. And it's similar with the church. You can have different expressions of church, but the foundations are the same. And as we come back to our Chichester site, joined by Midhurst, it cannot have escaped your notice that things aren't what they used to be. And I've said that already. It's not like they were back in March 2020. Things are looking very different. Not only do we have high regard for the Word of God, I want to say this, we also have high regard for prophecy, gifts of the Spirit, as expressed this morning, which is wonderful. But there's two things I just want to say here, because it's through, not just through the Word, but it is through gifts of the Spirit, which helps shape us, which we see in this passage. So back in March, Sunday the 21st of March, we had what we called our common worship. We gathered together like this, and we were hearing from God, we were worshiping together. And then it was quite a remarkable evening, because God prophetically spoke to us through a number of ways. And we do take prophecy seriously. And Mary, and we've quoted this a few times, but I think it's important for us to hear when God speaks to us, that when there is prophecy, we take note, that we don't treat it lightly. In fact, the scriptures tell us to weigh prophecy. So we're built on the Word of God, we're built on the things of the Spirit. And Mary had this word from Ezra. And it's as the Israelites, that they're coming back from captivity in Babylon, and they're coming back to rebuild the temple. And this is what it says in Ezra 3, verses 10 to 12. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord, "He is good. His love to Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundations of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. What was happening here was that those who'd been around before and remembered what the temple used to look like, they were bemoaning the fact that this new temple was not the same. It's different. It doesn't look the same. Those who were building the new temple saying, "Whoa, we're back. We can rebuild the temple." And Mary felt very strongly at that time that we as a church, this is how I interpreted it, and we as elders interpreted it, let's not look back to how things used to be. Let's rejoice that we are back together. And let's rejoice in the new thing that God is doing amongst us. And he is doing a new thing amongst us. I believe that. We believe that. There's exciting days ahead. Let's look back to how it used to be. And you don't want the moaning, if you like, almost like the moaning old priests. So I put myself in that position. Saying, "Oh, I remember what it was like." It's very easy for me, as a guy who's been around for many years in ministry, to look back and think, "Oh, do you remember the good old days?" That's a bad place to be in, because those days are gone. This is the day that we have got today, and so we're to build with what God is doing amongst us today. So let's rejoice that God is doing something new. And whatever has happened as a result of COVID and all the changes, God remains sovereign. He does have a purpose for his people. Let's believe that and rejoice that we're back together. That was on Sunday, March 21st. Then just a few weeks ago, on the 18th of May, we had another come and worship. And this is when Simo and I shared our health news, and it's wonderful the way the whole church gathered to pray. But there were other prophetic words that evening which were equally remarkable and encouraging to us as elders. And one of them was Ines. She had this vision of a flock of birds, and I was listening to it the other day, and she said, "Don't be scared, little flock." And she said, "We think of that, I think of sheep." But she said, "I don't see sheep, I see birds." And she said, "When you see, like flocks of starlings, they sort of, they move around and they make these amazing shapes in the sky, and they flow together and they move apart. And she was saying, she looked it up, and they can aerodynamically, apparently, when they fly together, it makes them more effective. So when they move in swarms like this, it's so they're more effective in their flight. And it means that they can rest more, they can travel further, because they have like the support of one another. And at this time, we were starting to wonder whether God was saying to us, should Midhurst join with Chichester for a period of time? And then Alice has this word, and a number of other events happened. We thought, no, God is speaking to us here. So if you're from Midhurst, I want to encourage you. You're here because God is doing something new and fresh, because he's going to do something fresh in the future as well. And there's a time of whether it's restoration, but in order then to move back out to whatever God has for the future. And then Helen Perry, who another lady in the church here at Chichester, she also felt God speak to her that there's going to come a time, this is before she knew anything about it, that Midhurst would join with us for a while. So I want to encourage you, Midhurst, don't feel like you're the ones who, we've got to come to Chichester. No, you're here because God is going to do something fresh and new, both for us and for you, in order to relaunch into the future. We take prophetic words seriously. We weigh them, we pray them through, and we believe that God is speaking. And then finally, and if the band could perhaps come up. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a natural follow-on. We are the church. God isn't building a temple like in Ezra of bricks and cement. He's building a temple of people. You and I, the body of Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And unlike the old covenant, as I say, not dwelling in buildings, God dwells by his Spirit in his people. When we're together, when we're open to the Holy Spirit dwelling amongst us, there is no limit to what God can do. I believe that. I believe there's exciting days ahead for Grace Church, because God is at work by his Holy Spirit. So let's remember. Let's not remember the former days or look what it was like then. Let's remember what it was like to be outside of Christ. Let's remember who we are in Christ. Let's remember where we belong together as the family. And let's come in expectation of what God is going to do over these months ahead. Amen. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of being able to be your people, called to be the people of God. Once we were not a people, now we are the people of God. And we ask you to come by your Spirit this morning. God, just help us to keep our eyes focused upon you, to remember what you have done for us, that you might do something fresh and new and exciting for us. At Grace Church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship.